I bet you've never heard of Lucinda Schroeder. Unless, of course, you've ever lived in Silver Lake, Oregon. This is the story of the little-known hero of the Silver Lake Fire, who gave her life saving dozens and dozens of lives. When the packed community center caught fire, Lucinda Schroeder ran back inside and blocked the door open with her body, enabling dozens who otherwise would have been pinned and crushed against the closed door to escape. She's a true hero. Nobody knows about her. And I'm going to tell you the story about her in a minute, but first let me introduce myself. My name's Finn J.D. John, and I do a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. I started the column in 2008, and currently it runs in about a dozen community newspapers around the state. Each week it tells a story from Oregon history, one of the stories that nobody knows about, like this one. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. Great stuff like that. But you know what? My favorite ones are the unknown hero ones, like this one. This you're listening to right now is an RSS feed, which brings you a story from our archive every morning in your choice of text and pictures or audio-only formats. Today's episode, in particular, was published on July 20th, 2011 in the newspapers, and I'm going to read it to you now. Being a real hero has a lot to do with luck. Bad luck. After all, if everything is peaches and cream, a hero's services are usually not needed. It's only when something awful happens that ordinary people find themselves suddenly forced to make an extraordinary choice. Try to save themselves, or try to save others. Sometimes these heroes die, and few others ever know what they did. And that's more or less what happened to the woman who is probably the most significant hero in the history of Lake County, Oregon, and of the community of Silver Lake in particular. Here's the story, much of which you'll already be familiar with if you've ever lived in Central Oregon. On Christmas Eve, 1894, nearly the entire population of Silver Lake and the surrounding ranches was crammed into a 1,200-square-foot room above Chrisman Brothers Mercantile. There were a total of 175 to 200 people in the hall. The night was bitter cold, about 20 degrees below zero, but the room was nice and toasty. The Christmas tree program was being staged, starring the kids of the community and centering around a big Christmas tree piled with presents. Benches made of planks perched on chunks of wood had been set up so audience members could sit down and watch. Around 8 p.m., one of the men in attendance got up to go outside and, finding his way blocked, hopped up on one of those benches to get around the crowd. As he made his way to the door, his head clipped one of the hanging kerosene lamps. Burning oil sloshed out, covered the lamp, and dripped to the floor. Fire surged to the ceiling. The first of the evening's heroes leaped into action. Francis Chrisman, owner of the place, leaped up and grabbed the lamp. Remember, it was essentially a fireball at the time. And ignoring the burning oil blistering his hands and arms, started for the exit with it. But there were many people in the hall, and some of them were trying to do something too. People batted at Chrisman's arms with coats, trying to smother the flames, knocking the lamp from his hands, where, of course, it emptied the rest of its oil onto the floor, burning fiercely, and there was no stopping the fire after that. People started for the exit, but there was only one exit, and it was at the bottom of a narrow corridor with a door that opened inward. As panic rose in the room above, people at the top of the stairs started shoving, desperate to leave. The pressure threatened to force the door closed and pin people against it like water fetching up against the check valve in a pump. And that certainly would have happened if it had not been for the major hero of the evening, a woman named Lucinda Schroeder. This intrepid woman, having escaped early, recognized the danger and forced her way back into the doorway where she blocked the door open with her body, grabbing people as they came by and shoving them towards the street. At least 100 people escaped from the blaze through the front door. Given how the exit was set up, and the rising panic and the people still trapped inside, it's hard to imagine how more than a dozen or two of these lucky souls could have escaped without her help. It's not clear how Lucinda Schroeder died. She may have been trampled to death. She may also have tried to go upstairs into the burning building, thinking her husband was inside and hoping to get him out. Although she certainly couldn't have made any headway against the crush of people trying to come down the stairs. but she might have gotten far enough for the door to close behind her and seal her doom. In any event, survivors in the street at one point looked up and saw the door closed, and no sign of her. When the end came, the death toll was staggering in percentage terms. Out of a population in the Silver Lake Valley of a little more than 200, 40 people were dead, and another several dozen badly burned. By this time, another hero of the moment was already in action. Local cowboy Ed O'Farrell, well before the fire had burned out, was on his horse and galloping through the snow and freezing weather toward Lakeview, 100 miles away, to get Dr. Bernard Daly. O'Farrell left well before midnight on Christmas Eve, and after a 19-hour ride through snow that sometimes got quite deep, got to Lakeview at around 4 p.m. Christmas afternoon. One source says he actually ruined the horse he was riding. Daly, within an hour, was on his way in a buggy pulled by the best horses in town. They stopped for fresh teams at Paisley and Summer Lake. O'Farrell had made the arrangements on the way, so Daly and O'Farrell were able to get back to Silver Lake in just 13 hours, arriving at 6 a.m. Daly was able to save the lives of all but three of the burn victims. His quick action and success won him statewide recognition, and a medical journal published an account of how he treated the victims. It was, as you can imagine, some time before the community of Silver Lake held another Christmas celebration. Actually, it was 10 full years. Almost every family in the town and surrounding ranches had lost at least one member. 4 years later, a monument was installed in the town's cemetery commemorating those who died in the fire. Lucinda Schroeder's name is on it, along with that of her 2-year-old son, Eston, who disobediently followed his mother back into the building when she went to block the door open. By the way, it was Central Oregon journalist Melanie Tupper who unearthed the story of Schroeder's heroism. Without her work, this story might have quietly disappeared into the archives of various small-town newspapers. But then, given the way true heroes so often feel about their actions, that might have suited Lucinda Schroeder just fine. That's it for today. You can check out all the columns and subscribe to either RSS feed by going to www.offbeatoregon.com. Both of the Offbeat Oregon Du Jour feeds are optimized for use on a smartphone, but they work great on a tablet or a netbook or an old-fashioned computer as well. Everything here is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening. Drop me a line anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @OffbeatOregon, especially if you're going to be in the Corvallis area and have time for a cup of coffee. I'll be back tomorrow morning around 6 a.m. with the next episode. Until then, well, happy trails!